wanted to share a quick side note about this gospel. The text that we read today references that the disciples were afraid of the Jews. But we have to remember that the disciples were Jewish too. John's gospel has been used to promote anti-Semitic ideology for a long time. But really, we have to remember that these stories in our gospels were about people within a family, within a community. And so we know not all Jews are bad. And I decide, sometimes I do change the translation, but I decided to keep it because scholar Amy Jill Levine says that we do, but we hold those tensions, and it's important that we talk about it. So, food for thought. Well, this gospel takes place on Easter Day. It is now the evening of the day. We had all the hoopla at the empty tomb, and now it is night, and the doors are locked. I don't blame the disciples. They just watched their teacher and fearless leader die a horrible death, and now his resting place has been disturbed, for the grave is empty, and it is a scary time. Perhaps they are even thinking they will come for us next. And so they huddle together behind locked doors. This image still resonates. The headlines today may make us want to lock our doors too. We know our immigrant neighbors are locking their doors for fear of ICE raids. The faculty, staff, and students of Florida State University locked their doors against an active shooter just last week. And I know Arlington Public Schools had a lockdown drill. We too lock our doors at night. And we know the reality is the lock won't ultimately protect us from all these things. Evil can still find a way in, but it feels good to do something tangible in the face of so many intangibles. Flip that switch, hear the click, take a deeper breath. And yet, as the story goes, no lock can keep Jesus out, for he shows up in their midst saying, "Peace be with you," not just once, but twice. Peace be with you. He shows them his scars. He breathes on them, which is a little weird to our post-COVID reality, right? Did anyone else flinch? But okay, gifts of the Holy Spirit will give Jesus a pass. And then he leaves again. And poor Thomas, he misses out. And so we ask the question that all of us ask at some point. Prove it. I need to see it to believe it. And so a week later, Jesus comes back. Mind you, the doors are still locked. Even with Jesus among us, we still lock our doors. And what does Jesus say again? Peace be with you. This is the third time we hear it in this gospel. He doesn't shame Thomas for his questions, for his skepticism. Thomas touches his scars at Jesus' invitation. And from this, Thomas proclaims Jesus as Lord. And Jesus ends with this blessing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, which is a promise to the Gospel of John's community who are hearing these stories a whole generation behind, and to us who have to believe these storytellers at their word. Because they are unbelievable, aren't they? People don't come back from the dead. And yet God has never been very good at following our human rules and regulations, our boundaries and our locks. In this post-resurrection world, we hear today and will continue to hear these stories of tangible things. Jesus shows up and there's a human touch and connection and this word of peace. Next week, Jesus is going to show up and feed the disciples breakfast. And I think there's intention behind these tangible things. Because while we would like to think we are elevated beings full of complicated, abstract thought, deep down, especially when we are afraid, God knows we are all concrete thinkers. We need something that we can touch, taste, see, smell, hear. Why else would Jesus come down to earth in the first place? God finally figured out that we needed to experience the divine firsthand in a being who eats with us, walks with us, cries with us, and laughs with us. And this does not change in the post-resurrection reality. If anything, in a post-resurrection reality, we need it now more than ever. We need something we can dig our hands into, smell underneath our fingernails, hear buzzing with life, and taste the earthiness on our carrots. It's digging down to our essence. After all, we are dirt people, created from the soil. That first being that God takes mud and breathes into is named Adam. And in Hebrew, the word Adam literally means mud person. I'm not joking. That's where we get the name human, hummus, right? Not the stuff you put on pita bread, hummus, but like the other hummus, soil, mud person. And so perhaps in the midst of the fear, the despair, and the dumpster fires, we all need to spend a little more time with the tangible. Okay, maybe you aren't a gardener, that's okay. You can embrace Carl, the humble earthworm from afar. But what is tangible for you? Perhaps it's baking some muffins and with a few extra to share. Making a phone call to someone you love. Serving someone else. I guarantee every nonprofit in Arlington right now is hurting and could use an extra hand. Maybe that's Path Forward, serving a meal at our adult homeless shelter, a courthouse. Maybe it's just neighbors stuffing envelopes. Buy some extra cereal for AFAC and we will drop it off for you. Take a walk without purpose. Leave your headphones at home and listen to the bird song and let yourself unplug and slow down just for a minute. What is something tangible that you can that can keep you grounded in God's loving post-resurrection reality this week? Actually, I'm going to say that you already have done that. By showing up today, you are doing your body and spirit some good. There was an interesting article in the Washington Post this week with a headline, "In the nation's loneliest city," yes, that is what we are called. Thank you, Washington, D.C. "In the nation's loneliest city, a sing-along brings strangers together." Yeah? Josh Kaur started hosting these sing-alongs complete with songbooks and kazoos. And originally, the gatherings had like 10 to 20 people, but now there's an email list of over 450 people. Each gathering brings like 50 people, and they sing songs like the Black Eyed Peas, so I don't know. But no prerequisites required, no musical education. The location changes from Tacoma Park in D.C., and last time they gathered, they even sang Woody Guthrie's "This Land Is Your Land." But as I'm reading this article about strangers gathering together singing, I couldn't help but think that that's what we do when we're together, right? We say some words and prayers together, and we sing. And my hope is that this liturgy grounds you, this little nugget that you can take with you that will find you again sometime when you're doing dishes, when you're stressed. Because we know when we sing together, it's been proven, we start to breathe together, our hearts start to beat together, and our stress levels go down. It's important. It's tangible. It's celebrating resurrection. And so, dear ones, to come full circle, I found this poem about singing to what you plant. Ah. And so I want to close today with this great spoken word poem by Lutheran poet Joe Davis. And as you hear these words, my hope and prayer is that the tangible resurrection finds you this week in some way, shape, or form. And maybe as it does, you unlock your door a little bit, unlock your heart, and hear Jesus' word of peace. So receive this poem. Sing to all you plants, sing to all you plant, to honor the garden where all life began, sing to all you plant. Sing to all you plant, sing to all you plant, to honor the people, to honor the land, sing to all you plant. Imagine God singing all life into being, sound waves into light, music and meaning, orchestral orchards, heartbeats and heartstrings, each chorus transforming our thoughts into things. Imagine us singing in harmony, parts of you ringing with parts of me. A spark in you matches a spark in me, and we're sparkling till the dark starts to sing. A light in my heart when it's hard to see. A breath of fresh air when it's hard to breathe. An a cappella artistry, like gardeners singing while gardening. If singing to your plants can help new leaves grow, imagine what singing can do for people. Can we sing ourselves back from the distance? Can we sing ourselves back to remembrance? Singing being human back to human beings. Singing unity back to communities. If there is life or death within our tongues, which do we choose to plant within our songs? Whether we serenade or change, whisper or hum, may our songs be as beautiful as we wish to become. Sing to all you plant, sing to all you plant, to honor the garden where all life began. Sing to all you plant, sing to all you plant, sing to all you plant. To honor the people, to honor the land, sing to all you plant. Amen. Thanks be to God.